Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are grateful for this time together and the opportunity to look through the truths of your word. Father, we just pray that you would bless our time together. I pray for my nervousness, Father. I pray that you'd give me boldness and that I would just be strong for your word, Father, and that the brothers and sisters here would be edified by what I share tonight, and that Christ would be exalted, Father. We just thank you once again for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I've noticed a lot lately, and I've been talking about, I've been listening to some news articles and things like that, and I hear a lot more about the topic of authority lately, and I haven't really looked at it real good because when I was young, I didn't think much of authority. I didn't think much of my father when he disciplined me, and and even now, you know, we don't think a lot about it. But when I started to look through, there's a whole lot more about authority than just, you know, God the Father. There's a whole lot that just goes throughout our society. And I was looking through one of the dictionaries, a very good dictionary, by the way, the Theological Dictionary from Baker. And if you're wanting to look for some ideas or topics to speak on, that really had a lot of good information. But it defined a person with authority, and there were four-part definition. It says it's the freedom to decide or right to act without a hindrance. And second, the power, ability, and capabilities to complete an action. And number three, delegated authority in the form of a warrant, license, and or authorization to perform. And then finally, the sphere in which authority is exercised, such as earthly government, police department, in those areas. And it might not be just that, as far as might be people that are in authority. So you might have somebody like Dave might be an authority on English, you know, compared to me. And, you know, Jeff Johnson be authority on teeth, you know. And so as far as spheres, you can have different areas of authority that other people don't have. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at a couple of different areas of authority and how they are in impact our lives, and how God has his hand in all of the areas of authority. Okay. And so first of all, I'm going to start with what we all remember of our first plan of authority with our mom and dad. So, because when we were born, that's the one thing that we're instilled in, is our parents were wanting to say, I'm the boss and you're not. I'm in authority and you're not. And so we constantly, and I do, and I'm sure some of the other parents here, are constantly driving that home with them that they are in charge. But, and I think that what God had planned, the whole entire plan was God planned it that way. And he said that, children, I want you to honor your father and your mother. And said the reason why is he wanted to set in the children that plan of authority before they even got to the real world, where there's the other authorities come into play, not only the earthly authorities or the church authorities or the heavenly authorities. He wanted that to be instilled in them before they got to that point in time. But one thing I wanted to read to y'all was something, and it was sort of, this is sort of to the extreme, but it's talking about the Garden of Eden. And it's talking about God being the first parent, and y'all may have seen it. It was an article that was in one of the local papers, and it's describing the Adam and Eve, and it's more from a child's perspective. So keep that in mind as I read it to you, okay? It says, after creating heaven and earth, God created Adam and Eve, and the first thing he said to them was, don't. And Adam says, don't what? Don't eat the forbidden fruit, God replied. Forbidden fruit? We got forbidden fruit? Hey, Eve, we got forbidden fruit. No way. Where? don't eat that fruit, said God. Why? Because I am your creator and I said so, said God, wondering why he hadn't stopped after making the elephants. And a few minutes later, God saw the kids having an apple break and was very angry. Didn't I tell you not to eat that fruit? The first parent asked. Adam replied. Then why did you? I don't know. And she started, Eve answered, and she started it, Adam said. Did not. Having had it with the two of them, God's punishment was that Adam and Eve should have children of their own. Thus, the pattern was set, and it has never changed since that time. But that just shows, and that, you know, I know that was a little bit, you know, extreme, but that's the reality. We, from the time we were born, we are defiant against authority. We don't want to do what God wants us to do, our parents want us to do, anybody for that matter. And the thing is, some people say, well, you know, it was Satan's fault. Satan's the one that persuaded them to do it. But they were the defiant ones. They knew what they were doing, and they did it anyway in defiance to God. So that's the first step. And so with your parents and trying to learn authority at an early age, and now you're stepping into the real world, okay? And you got these young people, and they're starting to become teenagers, and they're driving their cars, and the next thing you know, this new authority comes, the police officers, okay? And then you got judges, and then you got all these civil government and all these things, and all of a sudden, they're under a larger authority than the parents, okay? And these are authorities that don't love you like your parents did. They will exercise their authority like that, even more so than your parents. Sometimes your parents might be like, well, maybe we can work, you know, maybe we can, they don't do that. But anyway, I wanted to read for y'all a couple of verses that talks about where we are supposed to be subject to the higher powers here on earth that have been put in place. In Romans 13:1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. So, and I know you're thinking, well, you know, God didn't make this man a policeman. No, some people can argue, well, they gave him the job. But no, God gave us the law. God gave us the moral rightness in our hearts, in the word, to understand law. And he put that in place. And as a result, you have police officers to enforce the law that he had put in place. So, and in Titus 3:1, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. So, we're supposed to recognize who they are. We're supposed to recognize their area of authority. We're supposed to say, hey, that's a policeman. I'm supposed to pull over. You know, some people say it's a policeman and they say speed up. But no, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to slow down, and you're supposed to pull to the side of the road. But anyway, and when they get to the car, and I don't know, I didn't know whether to ask this question. Has anybody ever been pulled by a police officer before? Okay, good, and y'all understand. Well, one thing that I notice when I get pulled by a police officer, and how this connects back to your parenthood, and I don't know if y'all get this feeling, I do. It's when they turn the blue light on you and you're driving down the road and I look up and I see the blue light, I start to feel this tingle in my backside because I've known I've done something wrong and I know that I'm getting ready to get punished for it. And that's the same thing. I mean, I'm serious. Y'all think I'm kidding, but I start to feel tingly in my hind part. And I'm going to tell you, this goes back to my dad. He was instilling authority in me, and every time I did something wrong, I knew it was coming, and I got it. So, but that's one thing, it sort of steps back to the parents, being in authority and teaching you respect for authority and knowing that if you break the law, you're going to get punished for it. Okay? All right. Now, we also talked about, when you get pulled over by a police officer, I don't know if anybody's ever watched this show called Cops, but sometimes they got these people on there and they don't respect the authority. They might get pulled over for something just simple, something that like, here, you need a driver's license. Okay, you had a busted tail light, here you go. But because they show disrespect to the police officer, because they have no regard to their authority, they end up in bigger trouble than the simple little taillight ticket or whatever it might have been. So, it's very important to recognize your authority and be willing to submit to their authority. And then, also, I was looking at, when we talked about one of the definitions, delegating authority in the form of warrants, license, and authorizations. I was thinking about work. And I know there's some people in the medical profession, and there's probably some other people that have heard of the HIPAA regulations, the laws that say that I can't tell information. If David was my patient, I couldn't tell y'all all of his medical information. Okay, and that's basically what the rule is. Well, there is a little tweak in that rule. And at work, sometimes I will get an adult protective service call and I will get a report and I go out and I have to go check on these elderly people and there might be some exploitation or abuse or neglect going on. And so what we do is if we go out there and this person is not competent, they can't make decisions for themselves, during this evaluation period, we have the right, we have the authority by the state of North Carolina to go into any doctor's office, any bank, any place, and get the information that we need to compile the evidence that we need to make a case against a perpetrator or to prove that they are incompetent or they're not able to make decisions for themselves. Well, one thing that you notice sometimes is you go to a doctor's office and you go, hey, I need Joe Schmo's medical records. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to give them to you because the HIPAA regulation says you can't have any records and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but the state of North Carolina's got it written right here that you're supposed to give me the information that, during this evaluation. Now, and then you get into a battle and then you have to go to another authority. So then you have to go down to the magistrate's office and you have to get a protective order so you can go get the information. Okay? But what it's saying is, in that short period of time, the 30-day period of time, we have a temporary authority. No, Johnny ain't no higher on no totem pole or anybody else. It's just during that period of time, whoever is working that case has that temporary authority to get information that they need that normally you're not supposed to be able to get. So I think that shows that, that's just another one of those things that are here that you don't really hear about. You hear about the police and the judges and this, that, and the more law stuff, but there's other things that are going on, and I'm sure with like financial stuff, there's stuff that laws and things that pertain that when authorities come into effect and they're able to do certain things, and some people will recognize those authorities, and some people will go, y'all ain't no good, we're not going to listen to you, and then you have to go to another authority and all of that. So, but I know that was a whole mouthful, but I'll go on to the next part here. And then I was thinking about authority in a excuse me, and going to court. And I was thinking about the judge that they put in place over here in Rockingham County Court. And there's so many people that go into court and it's over something silly. And then, like I said, they go in there and they do something foolish and the judge calls. I had a fella that went in there one day and he had his drawers down here like this. And I said, look, you need to go and pull your drawers up before you go in there because he ain't going to like it. And he's like, so during the whole course of waiting there for his case to come up, he gets up there at the end and decides he's going to get an attitude with the judge. And he's got his drawers hanging down out here and stuff. And the judge called him before he hit the door, and he says, excuse me, but don't you come in my courtroom again dressed in this manner. That is disrespectful to me. And he was the one that was placed in authority. And he could have done, I mean, I know as simple as it might have sounded, he could have put him in jail or something just simply for not having his pant pulled up. And so, I mean, it's really important that when you go into court, when you go in the presence of a police officer and they tell you something, you need to listen. And you need to submit to their authority, because the authority's not coming from them, okay? The authority directly comes from God. God has put them in those positions of power. God has given them that authority. And, you know, people don't see it that way. They think, well, he's just another person. I can treat him any old way I want. No, in the position that he's in, at that point in time, he has that authority, and it was given by God. Now, there's something that I thought about when I was sitting here. I was like, well, does that mean I'm supposed to do everything that, you know, and I just see I'm backing up myself because I just said you're supposed to do everything they say, right? Well, if it is in direct contradiction to God's word, what they're telling you to do, then you're obliged to disobey. Now, somebody's going to throw me some curveball about this, but we'll talk about that. Y'all can talk to me after this. But anyway, I was looking at a passage where Paul was told, he said, it says in Acts 5:26-29, it says, "Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring the man's blood upon us. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." Okay? Now, I'm not saying you need to go out here to over Reidsville and start preaching the gospel, and you need to make sure you do it by the rules. If they say, well, you got to have one piece of paper that says it's okay for me to street preach and do it in the order that it's supposed to be done, then yeah, go get you a permit and go out there to the corner of Reidsville, do it by the law, and preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if an officer comes up and he says, well, you ain't supposed to be preaching. I got my permit right here that says I can preach the gospel. And I can do that, and I can do that. Then, you know, you've fulfilled the law of the local jurisdiction, and you're preaching the gospel. Okay? And then if he starts to handcuff you, then that'll be another issue. And then, you know, don't hit him, or then you'll get arrested for that. So, but anyway, you should preach the gospel, just like Peter did. But then you should make sure you're doing it the way it's supposed to be done, and in the public square, if it needs to be, by the rules. So you are obeying the authority that is over you. Now, you know my time stuff. Y'all know how I am about my time. I've been thinking about this subject's been, this portion's been really talking to me lately, and in a personal way, because there's been a lot of things from time to time that pop up, and the subject that this authority is church authority. And you know, sometimes in the world, the way things are, and you go and you're at work, and well, you know, Reverend so-and-so, he's over at our church, and he's the, you know, well, that's a man-made leader, okay? I mean, they might be preaching the gospel and that, but when they put that position in place, when they put that leadership set up in place, it wasn't in the scripture, okay? And priests, well, see, we're all priests in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, to pinpoint one person and say, this is a priest, that is not appropriate, okay? By the word of God, okay? Now, so a lot of those areas are man-made. They're made by man, and they've been that way for hundreds of years. And so they say, well, you know, that's the way we've always done it. That's the way we need to do it. But that ain't what the Word of God says. And he was here long before all them people were put in place. But it's clear in the Scripture that it is we definitely have to have an authority that's set up by an elder, that is of elders. Okay, so I wanted to look at Acts 14:23. And I'm going to read, some of these are like quick. So I'm going to go through and read them. Okay. It says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Paul and Barnabas went from church to church to church to church, putting reverends in positions of power and authority. No, they put elders in positions of power and authority. Y'all thought I messed up like I did with Abraham that time, didn't you? I got you. All right. And then in Titus 1:5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Okay. So there's another case where elders were appointed. Okay. And then another. Okay. And I'm sorry I'm saying these over and over and over again, but I want you to know that over and over and over again, the authority is supposed to be set up in a form of an eldership. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Okay? Here, they had to ordain elders in every church. Okay? Wasn't priests, wasn't reverend, wasn't prophets, you know, elders. Okay? And then the next thing is you know, you don't see a qualification for a priest. You don't see a qualification for a prophet or, you know. And so in 1 Timothy, I'm not going to read it because we'd be, you know, I could read it to buy some time, but that's okay. Y'all know the qualifications of an elder are listed in 1 Timothy 3:1-13. Okay. It says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, bishop is used interchangeably with elders, okay? Somebody's like, well, Johnny, it says bishop. It didn't say elder. Well, it's used interchangeably, okay? You can put elder there and it'd be the same thing, okay? All right, and then and it also says that in Titus 1:6-9, okay? So it's listed there in the same respect that, you know, the listing of the qualifications for an elder or a bishop. Now, y'all say, why, Johnny, all you read all this stuff. Why did you do that? Well, so y'all know from now on, if somebody comes up to you and says, who is the authority in the church? You can say, the what? Oh, the reverend? No. No, the elders. The elders are in authority of the church. So, and I don't mean that for you to start an argument with somebody at work and debate, but you have some scripture right there. You could say, well, you know, you're really not supposed to have priests or reverends or prophets or prophetesses and all these other names that you hear that are in leadership. So, and it talks about one of the things that, well, it doesn't... One of the things that I've noticed over the years of being at the chapel is that many of the things that are done in a spiritual sense are directed by the eldership, okay? Y'all got to hear this wonderful message tonight because one of the elders came to me and asked me to share this message with y'all. See, look at all the smiling people. And notice Jeff ain't here. I'm just picking. But they... when we had the baptismal, the elders did the baptismal. I know there's been some instances where dads did it, but for the most part, the elders do that. Also, you know, when I got, well, you know, for the most part, when I've got a problem that's of a spiritual sense, you know, I don't go to Josh. I thank a lot of you, Josh, but I go to one of the elders. and I'd say, look, you know, I'm having a problem in a spiritual sense. What direction do I need to go in? You know, what can I do, you know? And then, like recently, I don't want to go into details, but we've had instances where we've had people that were disciplined. And the elders have that responsibility. And, you know, and that's just a little bite of what the elders do, that, you know, administrations, all sorts of things like that, that you really don't give, you know, they don't wear a badge, you know, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a that, I'm this, you know, come and see me. It's just, you know, that they are the spiritual leadership of a church. All right. Now, I debated whether to discuss this or not, but I'm going to anyway. Sometimes, even though they're the leadership of the church, we don't agree with them. Okay? And that means in any instance where somebody's in authority, hey, Adam and Eve back in the garden, you know, we don't like to submit to somebody. You know, that it's not in men's nature, you know, so, yeah. I'll bow down, you know, I'll submit to you. I don't mean, you know, literally, but you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we disagree with them. And I have to say for myself, included, that we need to be careful when we disagree with them. Okay? And we don't just, the most important thing of the Reasonable Bible Chapel that concerns me sometimes is a division. Okay? And there's nothing that messes up the church unity better than taking a hit on one of the elders. Okay? And the thing is that we need, if we have an issue, instead of me talking to Joe Blow over here that's not an elder, that don't have anything to do with it, that, and I mean, I won't lie to you, I've been guilty of it myself. And that's why I'm speaking about this, because this really laid something on my heart that I need to speak about, is we need to be going to these guys. If you got a problem, you need to approach them, okay? Now, if you're talking about the color of the paint on the walls in, you know, Sunday school number 3, well, you know, hey. But if you're talking about, if you're talking about serious spiritual issues, you know, things about worship, the worship service, about the church discipline. If there's something you don't agree with the church discipline, you know, and if you don't agree with a person that they're considering for leadership, tell them. Don't tell Joe Schmo over here. Okay. You need to talk to them about it. And make sure you have your guns ready. Okay? Make sure you've read up. Not literally, folks. Make sure that whatever you have, listen to me. Hey, y'all stop laughing. Make sure that you've read the word and whatever you're arguing. I'm telling you, these guys are sharp. I mean, they're sharp. You go to them and they throw some scripture stuff. You better make sure you know what you're talking about, because they'll slap it right back in your face. Excuse me. So I'm serious. But, and it's, I know we were joking and having fun about it, but I mean, I'm serious. When you need to go to them about a doctrinal truth or something that, you know, pertaining to spiritual things about church, you need to go to them and you need to talk to them about it. And that way we will keep from having division here in the chapel. Okay? Because, I mean, we don't need another grapevine growing around here. And I know I don't need to be in a grapevine, and I've been in one before, and I don't like it. I get tired of it. And, you know, somebody's talking about somebody and somebody's talking about somebody else. Well, you don't need to do that, okay? And for me to say it never happened, that would be a lie. So I hope that y'all feel that same way. And then once they make a decision, once y'all come to them and y'all argue with them, and they say, well, hey, look, this is the way we want it. This person's going to be in leadership. This person, this person's going to do this, or we're doing it this way. And that's it. Okay? Don't go to Joe Schmo another month and a half and chit-chat with him, because it's done. You've beaten a dead horse. You've done your part. Convicted to go to them, and you've done your part in your heart, and they've made their final decision, let it go. Because if you don't, that could be build up more frustration in the body, and that could build up more resentment and division. Boom. Whew. It's hot in here. Oh, and one of the verses that I got from Hebrews 13, and you say, well, Johnny, you just said that. It said there was elders appointed, but it didn't say nothing about having to submit to them. Well, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Okay? So if we're going to start arguing stuff, and like we just said, it's going to be unprofitable for us, for the elders, for the body, for everybody. Okay? If we can't find a place to submit when they've made a decision about something. Okay? And I don't mean like, hey, go make a bologna sandwich and you go make a bologna sandwich. I'm talking about serious things. Okay? Now you say, well, you know, the elders, it just says that they're in leadership. You know, who puts them in their place? You know, who authorizes them? It's the scripture, the word, this is a quote from the dictionary. It says, the word of God contains all that the church needs to know in this world for its guidance in the way of salvation and service. Okay? And that's why when it says that the elders are supposed to be in prayer and studying the word, because they're putting the word in their hearts, they're meditating on it, and I don't mean we get a free ticket to ride and we don't get to, you know, we don't read. We need to read too. But they're really supposed to be in there so they can take and apply the knowledge of the word. And so that way, when the spiritual questions come up, they're prepared to answer them, and they're prepared to do what is right for the body of Christ. Okay? And continually, we need to pray for them regularly. We need to pray for them that they stay in the Word, that they're kept from sin. And pray for peace in their family. Okay. Alright, now, of course, the final thing I'm going to talk about is the ultimate authority. And that, everybody here knows that God is the ultimate authority. Okay? Everything set aside, God is the ultimate authority. His word is what he communicates that authority through. And that's what we need to, he's the one that we need to submit to. Ultimately. Okay? And what I was going to say is that, you know, God exercised his authority in all sorts of situations. Okay? We were teaching, I love Sunday school. If anybody wants to teach Sunday school and you're not teaching Sunday school, you may want to maybe consider that and maybe approach somebody and talk about maybe that in the future, you know, maybe after some decisions have been made by the leadership and to consider that, because you get a lot out of teaching the kids. And so we've been going through the book talking about Moses, and we started with, and no, I'm not getting my stories mixed up. I just had two stuck in there. before I started talking about Moses. But God, as we saw here, He showed His authority to Adam and Eve, and He exercised that authority, and He kicked them out of the garden. Okay? And there wasn't no coming back. You know, they gone, bye, see ya. There ain't no way back. Okay? Now, I was thinking about the flood. Okay? Noah, he, you know, the earth getting ready to get flooded. God is exercising His authority. He's judging the world. And He's going to kill everybody. All these wicked, vain people that have not respected the authority of God, He's going to kill them. Y'all gone. But you know what He says? He says, I'm going to make you, this one family, this fellow named Noah. I'm going to tell him to build an ark. I like this fellow. He does what I tell him to do. He believes what I say. That's what God's saying. So I'm going to give him a plan to build an ark, and I'm going to tell him that I'm going to flood the earth before it happens, so he will be saved from the wrath of my authority. So they out there build the ark, and this family gets saved. Okay? He made a way, but His authority was still exercised. And then I was thinking about, and now we're switching to Moses. This was Moses when one of the stories that came up in Sunday school, and I was talking to the kids about it, and, you know, the nation of Israel, they've been bastards. You know, God says, I'm going to send all these snakes. I'm going to send all these snakes around, they're going to come bite you. Okay? Because you have disrespected my authority. Now, y'all, I know I'm bringing it down, okay? And I'm sure God, you know, I may not be saying it the way y'all think it should be said, but He sent these snakes to judge these people. They bit these people and they died. Well, God said, He exercised His authority, but then He said, well, wait a minute. You know, there's some people that, they in their heart, they won't obey me. So I'm going to make a way. I'm going to put this snake up on the staff. I'm going to say, look, a snake bites you. Go look at the staff and you won't die. Okay? So God, He exercised His authority. It was carried out. But then He made a way of salvation. Okay? So, hey, we're getting somewhere with this. But, you know, sometimes God wasn't as generous to people. You know, He wasn't generous to Adam and Eve. And now, this story really touched my heart because Moses had disobeyed God. And it's in Numbers 20, 1 through 13. And at this point in time, the children of Israel are thirsty. I'm thirsty. I need some water. Give us some water, Moses. Moses, where's my water? Give me water. Give me some water, you know. So Moses is sick and tired of hearing it. So he says, God, what can I do? These people keep crying and grumbling, complaining for water, and I need to get them some water. So God says, I want you to do this. So he says, let's see. And Moses, and this is in verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. So God told them, let me see, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. Okay, so thou shalt give the congregation and there be strength. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and as commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. He smote it, okay? And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord, well, let's stop there. What did the Lord tell him to do? Speak to it. What did Moses do? He struck it with, and I'm like, I just hit it with the rod. you know, I know you told me to speak to it, but I just hit it with the rod. Hold up. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. God said, Moses has been with these people since Egypt. He's been taking them all over the place. You know, I went to God and got you some manna. I went and got you some water, and I went and did this, and got the Ten Commandments down from the mountain. And I tapped the rock twice. And God said, You're not going to take them into the land. You're not going to take them into the land that I promised you. I couldn't imagine how that broke his heart. I could not imagine going all that way, being through all that ordeal, and then God telling me, I'm sorry, you're not. But you know, it's even worse than that. In Deuteronomy 34:1, you know, before Moses gets ready to die, God doesn't like kill him 5 weeks before, okay? He waits till they're right there getting ready to enter in and takes them to a mountain. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thee. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over there. He could see it from the top of the mountain, but because it's just in my mind, I'm like, I tapped the rock. I did all this stuff. I tapped the rock. That's it. And I can't go into the promised land. But that was God's authority. God's authority is so great, he can say, look, you're going to die before you even get across the river. You're not going to get over there. You can look at it from right here, but you're not going to get to go in it. Man, so then I think and I look at Moses and I look in the light of our own sin, and we didn't tap no rock. We did worse than tapping rock. In our mind, in our sin, in our thoughts and actions, we've done more, you know, if you want to weigh it, we've done more than Moses did, tapping a rock. But, you know, Moses didn't get to go to promised land. But you know what? We get to go to heaven someday. We get to be with God the Father. We get to be there in all His glory and see Him. But, did God... when you think about our sin compared to Moses, you know, God should strike us down. You know? God could... You had that thought, boom, you're gone. You know? In comparison to what Moses did, and he didn't get to go across the river, and we're getting to go to heaven and spend eternity with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we did worse than tap a rock. That's hard for me to understand. But he chooses not to. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He didn't give Moses a break, but he gave us a break. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the very best of heaven, to die on the cross for our sins. Did God get shortchanged? Was his authority not recognized? Yes, it was recognized. It was recognized on Mount Calvary. It was recognized when our sin was placed on Christ and the wrath of God judged the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin. His authority was recognized and we were saved. It's just hard. It just blows my mind. His authority was recognized, and we were saved. We got through it. Have you ever heard of a police officer that pulled somebody over and say, here's your ticket for speeding. I tell you what, I'm going to pay it for you. You don't have to worry about it. I gave you a ticket. You broke the law. You got to pay this fine. You got to pay this penalty. But I'm police officer. He says, no, don't worry about it. I'm going to pay for it and I'll take care of it. You've been charged, but I'm going to pay for it. You ain't never heard of that. I've never heard of judges judge somebody to a sentence and said, hey, look, you ain't going to have to serve a sentence. I'm going to go and get in jail for you and take that punishment for you. You never hear that. If you do, I'd like to hear it. But anyway, it is important for us, the young people here, it's important for you to understand that authority now with your parents, authority in the world, with the governments and the police officers and judges and all that, in your church, there's going to be authority there, and then ultimately the authority of God. These are the authorities that will be with you through your entire life. Through your entire life, you're going to have this. So you better get used to it. And you need to start submitting to them and respecting them like you need to. Because if you don't, you might not get to see the you won't get, and when I mean that, I don't mean that in the sense of salvation. I mean that in the sense of a better life for yourself. You know, here on earth, God can give you many blessings and He can take them away. And if you don't submit to His authority, He can take them away just as easy as He can give them out. So we all, the children and us adults included, we need to respect the authority of God.